Joining us right now, though, to provide some legal clarity on all of this is lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
All right. So I texted you earlier. I was going through the story and immediately thought of you. Minnesota lawmakers, as we mentioned, earmarked $400,000 to help several school districts attract more educators of color from other states, aiming to boost the teaching corps that doesn't match what they say is an increasingly diverse student body. And you get further into here, this Come Teach in Minnesota program had enough funding for Minnesota districts to recruit 41 educators of color this year. And I'm going through this and scratching my head going, how is this not a discriminatory practice that's being conducted here in this, in these recruitment efforts?
Yeah, it seems so. This seems to be just another flavor of some of, you know, these programs that go under the banner of affirmative action, but you know, it's just, it is not, to me, it's another flavor of discrimination. And if I recall from the Minneapolis teachers contract, yeah, this whole thing of that they were going to, if there were, you know, if it was a need for layoffs, that they were going to terminate basically white teachers ahead of anybody from a historically disadvantaged population. This seems to be kind of in that same vein. And I have a couple of problems with this. First of all, you have the government is, you know, already engaged in programs where they're trying to, you know, they're busing kids from urban areas out to, like, say, suburban areas or beyond. And now say, on top of that, saying, oh, and now the percentages don't match up, so now we have to make sure that we hire teachers in all these districts. You know, we want you to hire teachers that match the student body makeup. That seems kind of strange. And second of all, it's more of this. What bothers me about this, John, is this is more of this, these racial identity politics. We're telling you, these are kids.
Yeah.
I mean, this is your formative years, and we're telling them that your most important characteristic is your racial makeup, whether, regardless of what it is. And I don't think that's a good message to send to kids. It's not a message that you or I were sent when we were in school, but it just seems to be almost like a fetish with this in the public schools today.
And it seems to be a means to, you know, to grab more power. Like, the more chaos that they sow and they create, the more that they can go and offer up solutions. And, you know, I think it's what we're all dreading in these coming years with the DFL trifecta and the DFL having a full slate of power, is there's going to be, unless this gets remedied in courts, which I feel like is the only place, you know, where it can land to get remedied. The DFL is going to really have their way to push, you know, this agenda. And if Denise Specht of the Education Minnesota gets $5 billion, I mean, to further throw at Minnesota education, I mean, I think we can all agree that I'll speak for me. I have no faith, Jeff O'Brien, that money is going to go and yield any sort of positive results for the students here in Minnesota.
I agree with you, John. Let's be clear. When you say the DFL having the trifecta, you mentioned Denise Speck. Education Minnesota has the trifecta.
Yeah.
Because the DFL is just going to carry water for Education Minnesota when it comes to their agenda. They get them elected, DFL gets in charge, and gets the money. That's what this is about. Now, to your point about the courts, I do think I see hope on the horizon. You know, we had the Supreme Court case here a few months ago. They heard the case on affirmative action in college admissions, and by all accounts from the oral arguments, it didn't go well for the proponents of affirmative action. So I think you're going to, with this Supreme Court, you know, it'll start with the college admissions. There'll be other cases that come to that court, and gradually I think that the court will work back and whittle down these government-sponsored programs to favor one racial group over another, which I thought that was why we have a civil rights movement. We don't do that, but apparently that's the new thing.
Let's go here while I still got you on the phone talking with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Robbie had this in his rundown this morning. The owner of a crime tracking Twitter account, and most of us are all familiar with Crime Watch Minneapolis. They do fantastic work over there. They're accusing the conservative think tank, American Experiment, of copyright infringement in a federal lawsuit embedding of Shelley Lessen's tweets. She runs at Crime Watch Minneapolis and is accusing American Experiment of infringement for simply embedding those tweets in posts on its website, highcrimemn.com, seeking $150,000 per violation for the 8 highlighted tweets. What are your thoughts on this particular lawsuit and this move?
I question it, and just so everybody knows, for those of you that are listening that are on Twitter, another friend of the show, Rob Dorr, has an outstanding thread on this lawsuit yesterday, and goes through, you know, Twitter's terms of service permits, you know, others to, you know, you have a royalty-free license to others to share your content. And also the center put out a press release and showed it was either a direct message or a text exchange between the center and the Minnesota Crime Watch or Crime Watch Minneapolis. And they said, we were going to do this. And they said, oh, great. Thank you. I'll try to tag you to make you aware of it. So it's an embedded Twitter feed. It's very clear from the website that it's that Twitter handle. It's not something that the center is doing, but they happen to have this crime page and wanted to share that embedded feed. That's all it is. It seems to me the crux of what the operator of the Twitter account is upset about is on the same page where the embedded feed is a pitch for donations for this other center project. And so that's where it seems to be what they're upset about. But, you know, I don't see any, from my first glance, I didn't see anything that wouldn't constitute fair use in embedding the Twitter feed on this page. So, but anybody that wants to see, like I said, Rob did a really nice analysis, in a thread yesterday and a few tweets, with the terms of service for Twitter and this exchange and the everything. And I would invite everybody to go take a look at it because it's good stuff.
Yeah, I'll do a retweet on it right now using the hashtag TCNT. I know you got to run for a meeting there, Jeff O'Brien. Thanks for coming on short notice. I seem to do that to you a lot, but I appreciate it. And it was great talking with you.
Thank you, John. Have a good day.
You too.